So we're reading from the Bhagavad Gita as it is, chapter 2, text number 34. Akirtim chapi bhutani kati shanti tatevayam sambhavitasya cha kirtir amaranatarichate Akirtim, infamy, cha, also, api, over and above, bhutani, all people, kati shanti, will speak, te, of you, avyayam, forever, sambhavitasya, for a respectable man, cha, also, akirti, ill fame, maranat, then death, atarichite, becomes more. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. People always speak of your infamy, and for a respectable person, dishonor is worse than death. Purport. Both as a friend and philosopher to Arjuna, Lord Krishna now gives his final judgment regarding Arjuna's refusal to fight. The Lord says, Arjuna, if you leave the battlefield before the battle even begins, people will call you coward. And if you think that people may call you bad names, but you will save your life by fleeing the battlefield, then my advice is that you do better to die in the battle. For a respectable man like you, ill fame is worse than death. For you should not flee for your life, for fear of your life. Better to die in the battle. That will save you from the ill fame of misusing my friendship and from losing your prestige in society. So the final judgment of the Lord was for Arjuna to die in the battle and not withdraw. Akirtim chapi bhutani kati shanti tadevayam sambhavitasya cha kirtir maranat acharichite. People always speak of your infamy, and for a respectable person, dishonor is worse than death. So this particular translation has undergone a number of changes. The book changes.
Wow.
What's that?
Wow.
I think the original in the Bhagavad Gita in 72 and 86 or something. 72. People always speak of infamy, and for one who's been honored, this honor is worse than death. This is a little bit better. For a respectable person, dishonor is worse than death. Do you understand the difference between for one who's been honored, dishonor is worse than death? It doesn't mean that you're respectable because you've been honored. It means that you've just been honored. Some you've won an award or something, and you've been honored. And then if they, well, say you're in a position of prestige, and then you're honored for that prestige. But then later on you're defamed and you become dishonored. People look at you as if you're fallen. So that's very bad for your prestige, for your false ego. It's horrible for your false ego. It's one thing if you were always, you know, in a lowly position, no one recognized you, no one really treated you very well. And you just got used to it. You're just kind of like an ordinary person. But if you're an extraordinary person, everyone's telling how wonderful you are, how great you are, and then the next day you wake up and they're telling you you're a rascal and a fool, get out of here, we don't want to see you. It's quite disturbing. But here it says, for a respectable person, one who's actually honorable, not just people who are giving you honor, but he's respectable, dishonor is worse than death. In other words, if you got the position where you were being honored because you were respectable, and if you do something disrespectable, that people disrespect you for, then that's worse than death. It's not saying, well, in one sense, the previous one was all about your false ego. This is about your not following the expectations of following your dharma. That you were honored because you were as a great warrior, Arjuna, because you followed your dharma. You were respectable. But now if you do something disrespectable, you don't follow dharma, then actually you're going to suffer more than if you even die. Is that understandable? So, obviously Krishna he's psychoanalyzing Arjuna, trying to get him to do what he wants him to do. That's the whole Bhagavad Gita. So every angle, Krishna is going after Arjuna's determination, trying to get him to fight the battlefield. Now, as Prabhupada used to say, when people hear the Bhagavad Gita nowadays, they think Arjuna was actually a nice person, nonviolent, didn't want to hurt his relatives, so renounced, willing to give up his kingdom, even the kingdom, for the sake of his relatives. And Krishna is exciting Arjuna to fight. What kind of person is that? Arjuna is an honorable person. He doesn't want to hurt his relatives. He's willing to sacrifice everything. He doesn't. And Krishna is telling Arjuna to kill his relatives. They had a court case in America. It was called the Robin George. We call it the Robin George case. And supposedly, the devotee psychologically kidnapped this girl. And then later on, they got her back. But the father died from heartbreak, supposedly. And his daughter was kidnapped by the cult. So in the court case, the people who were... Actually, they won at that time. They won the original judgment, which was something like $32 million for brainwashing this girl for something. Oh, something about because her father died from heartbreak. She won $32 million back then. Was like $100 million at least nowadays. On appeal, they didn't get $32 million, so they got much less than that. In any case, their lawyers came into court with a picture of Lord Nrisimhadev, where Lord Nrisimhadev was ripping apart Haranyakashipu. And Prahlad Maharaj is offering Nrisimhadev a garland. So there was one devotee on the stand, and the leader of the movement in Los Angeles at that time. And the girl's lawyer asked the devotee, he said, "Who is this person in the picture?" And the devotee said, "It's Nrisimhadev. Oh, Nrisimhadev. Is this your God?" And the devotee said, "Yes." "And who is this boy here in the picture?" "That's Prahlad Maharaj." "And who's the person on the lap of Lord Nrisimhadev that he's ripping apart?" "That's Haranyakashipu." "And what's the relation between Haranyakashipu and this boy?" "Haranyakashipu is the boy's father." "And what is Lord Nrisimhadev doing, your God doing to this boy's father?" "Well, he's ripping apart." "And what is Prahlad Maharaj doing?" "He's offering the killer a garland." "So your God is ripping apart this boy's father, and this boy is so brainwashed that he's offering his father is killing a garland. Is this your God? Is this your philosophy? Is this what you're brainwashing people?" So this is what people think. that Arjuna was a good person, moral person. He didn't want to hurt his family. He was willing to even go into the forest in order to avoid bloodshed, nonviolent. And yet, your God is inciting him to fight and kill his own kinsmen. So many people will die because your God has incited him to fight. But no conception of what Dharma is, because people don't, first of all, they don't know what Dharma, we know Dharma here, but not everyone knows Dharma. We know Dharma, though. Some people don't, not any, and if they hear about Dharma, they think it's, you know, they think we're bad enough as a cult. They think, some people may think we're a cult. I don't know in Slovenia if they think like that. Kind of like weird.
They
What's that?
They do. When I go on book distribution, sometimes people comment on the site. Actually, when you take money from the S-Boss, and then some people just walk away and say, it's a cult, don't give her money.
So they don't, what to speak of Dharma, know what Dharma, they think the Varnashram Dharma is worse than a cult. It's slavery. Some people, the Brahmins, are on the top. They keep everyone suppressed. All the workers. They just exploit the workers. Especially the, they identify Daivi Varnashram because, well, where is Daivi Varnashram? Was Asura Vanashram. They think Vanashram is by birth. You were born in a Brahmin family, and then you become a Brahmin, and you exploit the Shudras. Of course, nowadays in India, that doesn't happen anymore. The Brahmins are the ones who are taking care of... when I was in Delhi, and I had to use the bathroom, I was asking everyone, you know, kaha, toilet, hey. People don't understand what I was talking about. I finally got someone to know, to figure out what I was talking about. And they said, it's over there. And if you go to, you have to pay for the toilet in Delhi. What's that?
Dorupia,
whatever it is. And it's run by the Brahmins. The Brahmins guys, because they won't give the Brahmins any other occupation. So they give them the toilet, the bungi toilet. They've become bungies now. The reverse Vanashram. It's like in America now that they're trying to make white people feel bad that they're white. Give them some psychological complex. You're white, therefore you're bad. And therefore you should pay reparations to the black people. Because 200 years ago they were slaves. And you're the one, your ancestors did it, so now you have to pay them back. So they have reverse discrimination. If you apply to a school or for a job, and if you're white, then they don't give it to you. No matter how qualified you are, it doesn't matter. It's your skin color that counts. So they have all these less qualified people taking care of all these jobs. And therefore, so many accidents are happening. But they don't care. Because they feel good. They're reversing the discrimination. So similarly, here we find that Arjuna, Krishna is giving him some psychological push to fight. That you're an honorable person, you've been doing your duty for so long. And therefore, you should not do something which will be dishonorable. Now, in the same way, Krishna did the same thing to Jarasandha. Krishna is pretty tricky. When Bhima, Arjuna, and himself went to fight against Jarasandha, because Uddhava has suggested that better not to go with your army and fight against Jarasandha. So many unnecessarily people, soldiers will get killed. Because Jarasandha, they had to defeat Jarasandha in order to perform the Rajasuya sacrifice. At the same time, Jarasandha had captured, I think it was 12,000 kings who were devotees of Krishna. So they had requested Krishna to free them. And at the same time, they had to defeat Jarasandha in order for Yudhisthira Maharaj to perform the Rajasuya sacrifice. So Uddhava suggested that Krishna, Bhima, and Arjuna go there in the guise of Brahmins and beg from Jarasandha charity. Because at that time, even the demons, they followed the Vedic culture. Even Ravana, to a certain extent, followed the Vedic culture. Because his diet was not very good. You see, Brahmanas, which is not very Brahminical. But in general, though, they did sacrifice to the demigods, or someone, I don't know who they, Kali. And therefore, they had a very opulent kingdom, Ravana. Because the demigods, at least the ones who were reciprocating, or who was worshipping, were actually giving great opulence to the kingdom of Ravana, Lanka. So, Krishna, Jarasandha, Bhima, and Arjuna went there in the guise of Brahmins. And Jarasandha noticed that they had marks on their shoulders, which means that they were carrying bows. And they were very tall. Brahmins were relatively short. They were just the size of Akshaya. Tiny compared to the Kshatriyas. The Kshatriyas were usually around 3 meters high. I don't think you're 3 meters high. Except for Arjuna, he was actually a little short for a Kshatriya. He's only 2.5 meters high, so he was considered quite short for a Kshatriya at that time. What's that?
Shorty.
Yes. He couldn't make the basketball team. So they went there in order to convince Jarasandha to give them charity. Krishna pointed out 3 different examples. One of them was King Shibi, who had sacrificed his own flesh when Indra, in the form of a hawk, was chasing after a pigeon. And the pigeon took shelter of King Shibi. And the kings were obliged to give shelter to all living entities within their kingdom. So he gave shelter, and the hawk demanded that the king hand over the pigeon. So the king said, no, I've already given him shelter. So then the hawk said, well, that's my food. So the king said, all right, I'll cut flesh from my body, and I'll put it on a scale to equal to the flesh of the pigeon, and you can eat my flesh. So he kept on cutting the flesh. The pigeon was on one side of the scale, and his flesh was on the other, but the pigeon was always getting heavier. So he kept on cutting his flesh, but it was never equal to the weight of the pigeon. So finally the king sat on the scale and offered his own body for the sake of the pigeon. And then the hawk revealed himself as Indra. Similarly, Ranti Dev was fasting, and he was about to break his fast. And first a Brahmin came and said he was hungry. So Ranti Dev was about to die of thirst and hunger because he was fasting for so long. But he gave half his food to the Brahmin. And then some other people came, a man with dogs came, and he gave whatever left the food to them. And then he was about to die of thirst. And someone came and said, Chandala came and said, I'm thirsty. Please give me something to drink. So he gave him the water to drink. And then all these personalities, they revealed themselves as demigods testing him. So Jarasandha thought that, all right, all these personalities that Krishna's, that he didn't know it was Krishna, he thought it was a Brahmin. He said that actually they all attained an immortal fame. They got themselves in the books, and they became immortally famous, immortally famous, by doing sacrifice, by sacrificing for the sake of the of others. He said, so actually maybe I'll get myself into the book of Hall of Fame for sacrifice if I give myself a sacrifice. So he said, yes, I'm prepared to give you my head in charity if you want it. Because he was thinking, then I'll become famous. He did become famous. He's in the Srimad Bhagavatam. How many of us are going to make it into the Bhagavatam? And then Krishna, Bhima and Arjuna, they revealed themselves as actually, he said, actually, Jarasandha, we're not Brahmins, we're Kshatriyas. I'm your old enemy, Krishna, and this is Bhima, and this is Arjuna, the Pandavas. And Jarasandha said, yes, all right, I'll give you in charity. What do you want? He said, we want to fight with you. So Jarasandha said, no problem, I'll be happy to fight with you. But I'm not going to fight with Krishna because he becomes afraid and runs away sometimes when he faces me. And Arjuna is not my equal, he's just a boy. But Bhima will be my equal. So then he had a fight with Bhima for 28 days. Until he got split apart with Krishna's help. That's why he's called Jarasandha. Jara, do you know who Jara was? Witch, actually. The witch. And Sunda? What's that? Yeah. No, to put the tear apart. So he was born in two parts. And Jara, oh, actually, maybe it is. Jara came along and put them together. So it's Jarasandha. It's called Jarasandha. But he got, and Bhima tore him apart. So now he's not Jarasandha anymore. He's Jarasandha. That way, Jarasandha, his idea was he was willing to sacrifice his body to get fame. And Krishna's more or less telling Arjuna the same thing here. But in a slightly different way, because Jarasandha was never, in one sense, very respectable. And therefore, he actually wanted to get some false prestige. But Krishna is not telling Arjuna to do that. He's just saying that you shouldn't do something dishonorable. Otherwise, you'll feel very bad about it. Because you're an honorable person. So I'll stop there. Any questions? Yes.
You were mentioning three examples. What was the third example Krishna gave to Jarasandha?
Good question. I can't remember. We can find it immediately. My computer reciprocates with me. I mean, I thought at least my computer would listen to me. Doesn't look like it. Okay. We'll try that. No. It's really uncooperative. Not supposed to do that. Okay, we'll try this. Okay. Contents. So that should be Krishna book. Krishna book. And contents. Jarasandha delivered. Pali Maharaj. He offered everything to Krishna. Pali Maharaj. Charis understood. Under the circumstances, he thought, I'm prepared to give them anything, even if they ask for my body. I shall not hesitate to offer it. This way, he began to think of Bali Maharaj. Lord Vishnu, in the dress of a Brahmin, appeared as a beggar before Bali Maharaj and snatched away all of his opulence, his kingdom. He did this for the benefit of Indra, who, having been defeated by Bali Maharaj, was bereft of his kingdom. Although Bali Maharaj was cheated, his reputation as a great devotee, able to give anything and everything in charity, is still glorified throughout the three worlds. Bali Maharaj could guess that the Brahma is Lord Vishnu himself and had come to him just to take away his opulent kingdom on behalf of Indra. Bali's spiritual master and family priest, Sukracharya, repeatedly warned him about this, yet Bali did not hesitate to give in charity whatever the Brahmin wanted. At last, he gave up everything to the Brahmin. It is my strong determination, thought Jarasandha, that if I can achieve immortal reputation by sacrificing this perishable body, I must act for that purpose. The life of a Kshatriya who does not live for the benefit of the Brahmins is certainly condemned. But actually, Krishna's three personalities were Harishchandra, Ranti Deva, and Mukgala. So, a famous man, Krishna says, Lord Krishna, in the dress of a Brahmin, said to the king, we wish all glories to your majesty. We three guests at your royal palace have come a great distance to ask you for charity, and we hope that you will kindly bestow upon us whatever we ask for. We know about your good qualities. A person who is tolerant is always prepared to tolerate everything, even though distressful. Just as a criminal can perform the most abominable acts, a greatly charitable person like you can give anything and everything for which he is asked. For a great personality like you, there is no distinction between relatives and outsiders. A famous man lives forever, even after his death. Therefore, any person who is completely fit and able to execute acts which will perpetuate his good name and fame, and yet does not do so, becomes abominable in the eyes of great persons. Sounds like Arjuna is preaching now. Such a person cannot be condemned enough, and his refusal to give charity is lamentable throughout his whole life. Your Majesty must have heard the glorious names of charitable personalities like Harishchandra, Ranti Dev, and Mukgala, who used to live only on grains picked up from the paddy field, and the great Maharishi Sibi, who saved the life of a pigeon by supplying flesh from his own body. These great personalities have obtained immortal fame simply by sacrificing the temporary and perishable body. Lord Krishna, in the garb of a Brahmin, thus convinced Jarasandha that fame is imperishable, but the body is perishable. If one can obtain imperishable name and fame by sacrificing his perishable body, he becomes a very respectable figure in the history of human civilization. So Krishna got that from his talk with Jarasandha. Any other questions? But this is not our philosophy, by the way, although Krishna said, don't do something, you know, just to get immortal fame, because it's not going to work. Prabhupada said that Napoleon, as I said before, there's a statue of Napoleon in France, in Paris. Big statue. And every year they go, they have a ceremony to honor Napoleon. So the workers go and they, on top of this monument, and they scrape off all the offerings of the birds made during the year. And then they have a ceremony, they offer him garlands and worship and praise for one day. And then the next day the birds come back and give their offering. So what is the value? Prabhupada said, here's Napoleon, his statue, they're honoring him, perpetually. But he, for all we know, he may be one of the birds coming making the offering. So what is the value of such immortal fame? Anything else? Yes.
This trial, how did it end?
What's that?
This trial to the devotees on this earth.
We lost. They got $32 million. But then on appeal, we got it down to like 1.8. And as far as the that scene that they made with the picture of Lord Nrisimhadeva, the judge said it was illegal. That was part of our, that was part of the reason we, it was dropped so much. He said it's this is against religious freedom to come and, you know, criticize their religion in front of the jury. So it actually cost them a lot of money. Well, Nrisimhadeva saved us. Even Hiranyakashipu helped out. He sacrificed for us. Yes. Yes.
So in Bhagavad Gita it is said that it is better to do how it said imperfectly what your duty is or what seems according to your nature than to do something perfectly that's not according to your nature. And on the other hand, we say it's better to act or take responsibility than to try to flee from your duties or responsibility. So how could that be applicable? Is it better to do something that needs to be done even though it's like not according to your nature and you're trying your best, or to hope somebody else would do it?
Well, if you're doing it for Krishna, it doesn't really. But this is Varnashram. Krishna is talking to Arjuna. Shreyan Swadamo Viguna Paradharma Sunusita Shreyadharmo Nididam Shayat Paradharmo Bayavaha. It is better to perform your own duty even perfectly than to perform someone else's duty even perfectly. Destruction of the cause of one's duty is better because to take up someone else's duty is dangerous. So the idea is that in the Varnashram system, people are actually born with certain capacity for service. And when they properly are engaged in their, according to their capacity, just like the Brahmins had, you know, they were clean, they were honest, they were, etc. They had the qualities of a Brahmin. Similarly, the Kshatriyas had to have the quality. They were trained, and they were trained like that, to be Kshatriyas, and that was their duty. Now, the idea is that if a Kshatriya tries to take up the duty of a Brahmin, which he's not qualified, number one, he's going to take over the duty of some Brahmin, and therefore it's going to get some sinful reaction for taking up someone else's duty. And knowing that what you're supposed to do is not, what you were supposed to do is not going to get done, so you get responsible for not doing that because it creates a disturbance in society.
If you have available
Brahmana
for enough of the
Kshatriyas. Well, that's the Varnashram system. But in our system, in Krishna consciousness, we don't have any, you know. Our duty is to chant Hare Krishna. There's two types of Swadharmas. There's the Swadharma according to the psychophysical nature, and then there's the Swadharma according to the orders of the spiritual master. So we try to adjust both of them when possible and give people duties according to their psychophysical nature. But if you perform the duties according to the instructions of the spiritual master, that makes up for the duties in the Varnashram system. Anything else? Hvala, Grantarai Srimad Bhagavad Gita Ki Jai.